today on Real Radio.
Listen, as a believer, if you have been grieved by your own lack of obedience, or maybe you're not even a Christian tonight, but you know you need the love of God in your life and you're ashamed of yourself, God would say to you tonight, come near to me. Come near to me, because there's something he wants to do in your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God Knows, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, God gave the prophet Isaiah an awesome responsibility. He was not only to magnify the Lord as the Holy One of Israel, but also to point us toward the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the Anointed One. And you know, some of his prophecies extend far into the future, when deliverance will finally come to Israel during the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. In part 1 of Isaiah chapter 48, we saw that everything in this chapter is about future events, far ahead of Isaiah's time. God knows the future, so he knows the condition of our hearts. Israel tried to blame their bad behavior on their carved idols, but God, in his incredible mercy, restrains his anger toward us because he put the blame on someone else, his son Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our offenses and who took our place on the cross for our sins. So today, on day 1 of chapter 48, Pastor Jack tells us that we can trust the New Testament because of the Old Testament and the ancient prophets like Isaiah. The Bible in its entirety is how we can have an understanding of both creation and salvation. And now in his lesson called God Knows, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So God, we just thank you, and we know that you are the God that establishes rulers. You put kings in office. Your Bible says you remove kings. All authorities that are established on earth are by your decree. And so, Father, we just ask you, Lord, as we even study tonight in the book of Isaiah regarding your authority, Almighty God, Lord, that we would come out of this place tonight more grateful for your word and the power of it, and God, that we would be a people trusting and resting in your sovereignty. Thank you, Father, for the God that you are, and we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 48, church, Isaiah chapter 48, and we were there last time, if you remember, and I was committed to finishing it and didn't even come close. But tonight we must finish it. And so if you turn to Isaiah chapter 48, we're looking at the message entitled, God Knows. The Bible teaches us that God knows. And Isaiah 48, we're going to see just how much God knows. And if you're not familiar with the God of the Bible, let me be the first to tell you that there's nothing hidden from him. The Bible says that God knows not only everything that's coming in advance, the Bible says that God knows the future in advance. The Bible, 27% or more of the Bible is the future written down in advance. And what's awesome about the record of humanity in history is the fact that the Bible, the God of the Bible, has anticipated even history. We look back at history to see which way to go. God writes history down in advance, and it's called prophecy. In fact, he says to all of us, in mankind, he says to try him and test him in this area of God knowing the future. He announces that by this revelation that God knows the future in advance, that you can trust him, that he's apart from all pagan or idols, pagan gods or idol worship. He's alive and he knows the future. He's our creator. And we've been studying this in Isaiah 48. It's one of the most profound chapters of the Bible. And I'm very excited with Isaiah 48 all the way out to chapter 66 from this point on. But remember this, the Bible that you're holding in your hands tonight, church, this book that you're holding spans a time period of authorship of nearly 2,000 years. 40 different authors penning 66 different books on 3 different continents. Many of these authors never met one another. But there is a perfect, provable, scientific unity, a continuity of the Bible, whereby these various authors, various continents, over a 2,000-year period of time speak in perfect unison regarding one central figure, and that is the Messiah, Christ himself. From Genesis to Revelation, the star figure of the Bible is none other than Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world. And it's absolutely awesome that the Bible stands out and alone from all other books. And it shouldn't surprise us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways in times past spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. In Luke chapter 24, verse 25, it's an amazing portion of scripture. Jesus talking about the Old Testament. Jesus is walking on that Emmaus road, and there were two disciples. It was on Resurrection Sunday, and now it's on the late afternoon. They're going home, and the Bible tells us that they were walking home to Emmaus, and it says that Jesus came up alongside them, and they didn't recognize him, and they were talking and walking with him, and he said, why are you guys so sad? And they said to him, are you a stranger? Don't you know what's happened? We had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah. He was amazing in word and in deed. And we had hoped that he would deliver us. But he was crucified and he's been dead. There's rumors that he's been resurrected. But, we fear that the worst has befallen us. And then Jesus says this in Luke 24, 25. He said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Notice the prophets. Isaiah is one of those prophets. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning what? Himself. Isn't that awesome? Jesus shows up and gives these two guys on a walk a Bible study, and he began at Genesis and walked them all the way through the Old Testament all about himself. That is a tremendous statement. Church, listen, it's because of the Old Testament that you and I know that the New Testament's true. It's because of the Old Testament, like Isaiah, that we see from Genesis to Malachi, the creation account. You would have no understanding of the creation account but by the Old Testament. It's by the Old Testament that we know why God created and how God created. I love that. God tells us why he did it. It's beautiful. It's awesome. The Bible tells us the very vision of God's plan. It's the Bible, the Old Testament, that tells us that it's the God of the Bible that established nations. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that it's God who has revealed himself to mankind. God interrupts man and says, I'm the one. I'm the one that's called you out of death. God initiated that. We know that from the Old Testament, it is the God of the Bible who said, I'm going to redeem mankind. And we know, of course, from the Old Testament, maybe this is one of the most important things because it encompasses all doctrines of the Bible, that it's the God of the Old Testament that says, I will tell you the future in advance. And that's called Bible prophecy. So church, last time together, we looked at several points that I'm not going to belabor, just to point them out, that God knows. And we saw in Isaiah 48 verses 1 and 2 that he knows what's in the confession. For example, he says to the house of Jacob, he says, who are called by the name Israel. Verse 1 goes on to say that he says, I brought you forth the wellspring of Judah. Notice this. He's speaking to them who swear by the name of the Lord. Number 2, they make mention of the God of Israel. But look what he says there. But not in truth or in righteousness. Verse 2 goes on to say, for they call themselves after the holy city, that is, O Jerusalem. You know, we worship at Jerusalem. We're good. And he says, you lean on the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name, but he's rebuking them. They said, oh, we make this confession. Listen, everybody, if we just say that we belong to God, if we just say we're Jews, if we just say we worship in Jerusalem, hey, listen, we're of Israel. We know the God of all creation. We're good. The Bible here says, God says, you say these things, but not in righteousness. And we mentioned last time that people say they're Christians, but are not in action. Listen, friends and family, you know this. You know the Bible. The Bible says, makes it very clear that what we say doesn't matter to God. It's almost as though God is deaf in some ways. Now, listen, when you pray, God is listening, right? When you pray, God's listening. But listen, when we say that we know God and we do not walk with God, it's as though he's deaf to that confession. When we say we know him and walk in sin, the Bible says that we make God out to be a liar. If we say we know him and walk in this path of sin, and we think that we're going to bring God with us, the Bible says no to that. So imagine for a moment if God were to be deaf for 30 days and watch my life and your life, and he can't hear a word we say. This is key. He can't hear a word we say. He just watches you and I. He's constantly watching 24/7. He watches us. And then at the end of the 30 days, God writes an assessment. God says, okay, I'm going to write a report on what I saw in your life. And he writes that down, and then he posts your grade on the wall, and that would determine if you're a Christian or not. Did you all hear me? This is true biblical Christianity, not by what we say, but does our confession match our walk? That is true Christianity. And God is saying to Israel, you can't say that you know me, and you can't say that you worship at my temple or in my city and disobey me. In fact, way back in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, therefore the Lord has said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. That's what we don't want to do as a people. God knows the inside of us. We're not fooling anybody. In reality, we're certainly not fooling God. He knows everything. The second thing we saw last time is in verses 3-8, and the God who knows, he knows what's in the heart. He says in verse 3, I have declared the former things from the beginning. This is the eternal God who knows the future. He says, they went forth from my mouth. God has spoken them, and he said, I caused them, the people of Israel, to hear it. God spoke to the nation of Israel, and he blessed them with his presence. He blessed them with his word. Listen, today, you know, what is the value of the heritage of Israel? Well, much in every way, according to Paul, the apostle, in Romans chapter 9 and 10. But listen, you have the Bible right now because of the Jews having preserved the word of God. Did you know that? They didn't obey it, but they preserved it. And they've been the custodians of the Bible. That's quite amazing. And to whom much is given, says the scripture, much is required, right? And so God says, I spoke to this nation. I told them things even in advance. And he knows what's in the heart. He knew what was in the heart of the people. Thirdly, we saw in verses 9-11 that God knows what he must do. God is sovereign and God is just and God is righteous. I find this awesome and amazing though. Look at verse 9. He says, for my name's sake, I will defer my anger, because judgment was due to them. He says, for my praise, I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. Verse 10, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another. God is saying, I know what I have to do regarding the nation that I've singled out. You've been disobedient, but this is absolutely precious graciousness. God says, judgment is owed to you. I'm going to defer it. He's not going to ignore it. He's going to defer it. Remember we talked last week how he not only deferred it, but ultimately he deferred it to Christ 2,000 years ago. According to God's word, your sin and my sin was to be judged by God upon us. And Jesus took that place for us who trust in him. What a beautiful thing that is. And then another thing we saw last time before we had to end in the verses 12-15, it's that God knows what the future holds. And we recognized verse 12. He says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, and I am also the last. And this is where we ended with the push that this is the verse, the famous verse of Isaiah 48:12, that names the name of Messiah. This is the very title of Jesus Christ himself found in the Old Testament, revealed in the Old Testament, and then again confirmed in the New. So church, we pick it up, verses 16-19, where God knows what we need the most. It says in verse 16, come near to me. God is speaking. Come near to me. The word in Hebrew means to take the face. I love that. Watch this. God is saying to his people, God is saying to you tonight, come near to me. Imagine this, the Holy Spirit communicating to you that Jesus would reach down into your life right now, and God is saying to the people of Israel, and he's saying to you tonight, come near to me. And as the word in Hebrew means he's taking you by the face. Isn't that encouraging? I don't know what kind of day you've had today or what kind of life you've been having lately, but listen, as a believer, if you have been grieved by your own lack of obedience, or maybe you're not even a Christian tonight, but you know you need the love of God in your life, and you're ashamed of yourself, and you're guilty, God would say to you tonight, come near to me. He would reach down and pick your face up off your chest. He would lift your chin, and it's God's will tonight that he would look at you in the eyes and say, come near to me, because there's something he wants to do in your life. He wants to bring about redemption in your life, or maybe you're a Christian and he wants to bring about recovery in your life. Look what he says. He says, hear this. That word in Hebrew means to clear out the ears. So he grabs your face and picks up your head, and then he says, hear this, and it means to clear out the ears. Have you ever, taken a Q-tip and cleaned out your ear? You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we need to be careful that we do not become dull of hearing. We become lackadaisical and sloppy about hearing the word of God, ho-hum about the Bible. We carry it or hold it lightly in our lives. The Bible says, watch out that you do not become dull of hearing. And the amazing word in the New Testament Hebrew, the Greek word, is to have lard. The word means to have lard impacted in your ears. Is that gross? Lard is just gross, period. But can you imagine just having fat smashed into your ear? That's the word. Isn't that graphic? Pull it out. Get it out of there. And so the Lord is saying, let me lift up your head and hear this. Get the stuff out of your ear. I want to tell you something. The God of the Bible wants to speak to you. Christian, listen, tonight God, the Holy Spirit, wants to speak to you. Now listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Are you a Christian tonight, but you're not sure if you're hearing from God? I want to help you with that tonight. God, number one, his will is that you hear from him. Number two, how does God speak? It's quite simple. It's quite simple. You say, oh, I'm not sure if I've ever heard God speak. Well, most often when I hear a Christian say that and then I begin to question them, they're most often too hard on themselves. They're not realizing that God speaks in that still small voice. And first of all, listen, if you're a Christian tonight, if you go do something wrong, I guarantee you God will speak to you. He said, well, that's not the context I'm talking about. I understand that. I'm just making a point. If you do something wrong, trust me, he will speak to you in about 3 seconds. In fact, he'll even speak to you before you do it. Right? But you're wondering, no, you know, if I want to go sit under a tree, if I'm kneeling in prayer, if I'm driving and I'm meditating on God, I'm not hearing from him. Listen, it's that still small voice, and this is how he speaks. He uses the word of God. He uses his Bible. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said this, will use the Bible. The more that you become familiar with the Bible, the more God speaks in the moment. The more God will speak regarding your future. The more God will speak to you regarding the issue. Do I go left or right? Do I marry her or do I wait? Is she the one? What do I? Listen, there's nothing that you cannot pray for. Everything's on the table for prayer, right? Everything's there. Should I buy this or buy that? Listen, take it to the Lord. Here's the amazing thing. He wants to answer you. He really does. He's saying, listen, hear this. Christians, when you pray, expect God to answer. I mean it. When you pray, when you get up, expect him to answer. Be looking for the answer. Now, this is not even in my notes. I'm sorry, we're going down this path, but maybe God's in this right now. I want to encourage you to pray big prayers, bold prayers. I think everything I see in the Bible, God is setting it up for us to pray big. For example, Peter steps out of the boat. I love it. Jesus is walking on water. Peter sees him and says, "Lord, if that's you," he wasn't sure, by the way. This is quite a, no pun intended, but this is quite a step of faith. Peter's in a storm with the rest of the guys, and the storm is so bad, they think they're going to sink and die. And Peter thinks he sees the Lord in the storm out walking on the water. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, invite me to walk out on the water to you." Now, I think that's awesome because Peter knew the nature of Jesus. Only Jesus would ask Peter to step out on the water. Did you get that? What does that mean to us? That means if God is going to be working in your life, he's going to say something to you that is radically impossible for you to do on your own or for you to achieve or for you to budget. Have you noticed when you do a budget, nothing ever works? God, if that's you, give me the thumbs up to step out. Trusting that only the Lord would have me step out of this boat. Peter steps out of the boat and he's walking on water. Peter is walking on water. And the Bible tells us that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. And it's the shortest prayer in the Bible. By the way, you know, listen, I'm dead serious. Prayer should be short. The Bible says, "Let your words be few when you come before the presence of the Lord." Anybody praying long prayers in a prayer meeting is only confessing that they don't pray much alone. They're making up for lost time. Pray to the point. Pray on point. Pray with passion. Pray with direction. And listen, and pray with expectation. Peter was sinking and he said, "Lord, help." That's a prayer for you. "Lord, help." And listen, he stepped out and he asked for a big thing as well. "God, help me." And Jesus stretched out his arm and pulled him up out of the water. Listen, we need to pray big prayers because our God is big. And we need to go to him. And listen, many times we pray such remedial prayers that if God even answered it, we wouldn't know if he answered or not because it's such a weak prayer. Pray radical, pray big, pray in faith. God is listening and he wants to answer.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God Knows Part 2. We're glad you took the time to join us today, and if God knows all, then he knows what you're going through. Give your all to him, and he'll be faithful to get you where you need to be. God Knows Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, some people might think it's a bad thing that God knows all and sees all. Maybe you've been going down the wrong path, or you feel like you have to earn your way into God's heart. Or maybe you think that the poor choices you've made in life, well, they've gone far beyond God's ability to forgive. Well, here's some really comforting news. God knows you, he does. But the awesome thing is how much he still loves you. He even wants to have a personal relationship with you. So if you want to know more of what that's all about, we're here to help. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Know God tab. That's the Know God tab, K-N-O-W. Now, once you're there, you'll find the information you need to make a decision for Christ and a guide to share your faith with others. Now, here's what you can do for us. Let us know about your decision to follow Christ. Or maybe you've got further questions, we're more than happy to help you with those. You can call us 877-777-2346 or email us at mail@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Again, that's 877-777-2346 or email us, here's the address, mail@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, have you missed any episodes? You can catch up with past episodes or just ones you've missed with the Real Life app. Check your app store for the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.